This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Good to see you. Morning, everyone joining us online. New series, Father's Day. The title of the message today is this: it's not what you know. When was the last time you thought to yourself, you stood back and thought, man, I just don't know what to do? Every day? Most days? We think to yourself, man, I don't know what to do. Now, when we ask that question, we're not kind of saying we have no idea about anything to do. We know a few things that we probably could do. The problem is my options, usually when I'm asking that question, they feel like they're all bad. They're all the wrong options. We're asking ourselves, what's the right thing to do? You know, I have so many questions, the things that concern me in my mind that I don't know what to do. I'm sitting down or I'm lying in bed and things go through my head and I'm like, I don't know what to do about that. I have so many questions about life, questions about relationships, right? I'm 44 this year. Kids are getting older. How do I be a good parent in this season of my life? That's a question that I'm asking myself all the time. Questions about what is being a good friend? What does friends look like for a 44-year-old man? What does it look like to have friends and to be a good friend in this season of my life? I have questions about how I be a good son. How do I live as a son and honor my parents and be a blessing to them? I've questions about reconciliation in relationships. So, you know, when do you keep fighting for a relationship to reconcile and when do you let it go? I don't know the answer to some of these questions and the questions that I have all the time. How do I live in an increasingly polarized world where everything seems like it's being pushed further left and further right? How do I live in a world that is so partisan and be a person of peace in the middle of it? I don't know. I mean, these are big questions about life. I've questions about our minds, about mental health. I've got questions about how I be a good friend to someone who's having a low day. Questions about how do I find rest? How do I be able to refill my tank in a way that serves people around me and doesn't drag people down? Anyone else have any of these questions? It could just be me. How do I know if my feelings are real or if they're just feelings? And they're not real, and it's not reality. How do I know that? There's questions, questions, questions. I have questions about what forms identity. You know, I often think, man, how much of who I am is because of how I was made, inbuilt in my DNA, and how much of it is formed by my family or by culture? How much does social media form me? How much am I being, you know, and so the person I think I am right now is really just because of an algorithm told me that, right? I don't know. I don't know how much, what percentage, but they're questions, right, that I have. How do I find out who I truly am? Who's the real Matt, right? I don't know. How do I best offer myself, true self, to the people around me? Questions, 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 questions. I have questions about purpose. You know, questions about what have I been created for? What am I made for? Is the purpose and the will of God like a thin single trail, like walking track, or is it a wide and spacious road where we get to zigzag across the middle of it? Is it like a map where we need somewhere to get to, or is it kind of more like a sandpit where you just get to play? The purpose and the will of God. Questions? I don't know. Do we all have to reach for the stars or is the simple life okay? Yeah. Questions I have about the purpose of God. Is God's will for me to be a world beater every single time? Just to absolutely crush it in life? Or is the simple life cool? I don't know. Questions. They're just things that I think about. They're things that I wonder about. I don't know if you ever think about or wonder about those kinds of things too, but And I think that we'd be naive to be able to say, well, the answer for every single one of those questions, like what am I going to have for breakfast today, is in the Bible, all right? It's going to tell me it's somewhere in there. It's, yep, cornflakes, right? We don't find those kinds of things because the Bible speaks to a specific people at a specific time in a specific place. And then what it allows us to do is to draw out of that things that the Lord might be speaking to us for us to apply in our own context. If we're thinking about wisdom, it'd be silly for us to not, though, look at the scriptures, and it'd be even sillier for us to not look at the book of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is like a repository of wisdom that was gathered over many, many writers, over many, many years, that formed the ethical and spiritual framework for how to live with wisdom for the ancient people of God. The ancient people of God, the Israelites, used this book of Proverbs to guide not only their actions, but also the way that they thought. And it guided not only the way that they thought, but the way that they interrelated to one another and the way that they thought, not just about relationships, but about life in general. And so we're going to read that from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. And we're going to have a look and see what ancient wisdom, what scriptural wisdom might tell us about the way that we think about some of those questions that we have. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you might gain insight. For I give you good precepts, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she'll keep you. Love her and she'll guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. What's your life's pursuit? What are you chasing after, really going after in life? So the book of Proverbs here says, whatever you do, if you're going to chase anything down, if you're going to go after something and make it a goal, go get wisdom. Chase it down. Because wisdom, with wisdom there is a reward. Do you notice here that wisdom is personified? She's a graceful woman who's going to place a crown on your head. She's being juxtaposed here against another woman in the book of Proverbs called folly, which is the opposite of wisdom, which is and folly leads to ruin, but the word of God says that wisdom leads to life. That wisdom is a gift that's worth pursuing. What are you pursuing? We can chase after a lot of things, can't we? Our eyes and our attention get diverted this way and that. Oh, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to go after this. Maybe you've spent an entire career. You've spent a lot of time building a business, or you've been building a family, or you've been building a career, or you've been building so many different things, chasing after so many different things. And the scripture says, whatever you do, your highest pursuit should be that of wisdom. Putting precepts into practice. It's interesting also that on Father's Day, we see that wisdom here runs through generational lines. We see three generations here in this text. We see the speaker saying, my son, listen to my words. I'm going to tell you some things. And if you put them into practice, they're going to serve you. Just like my father told me, and I've put them into practice, and they've served me. And so, firstly, if you are a father or you're a father figure, you're a foster dad, if you hold that fatherly role in any way in the life of our church or in our community or in our region, we want to honor you today. We want to honor you for the way that you are passing on hard-won wisdom to the generations that come after you. It's a foundational building block for our world and for our relationships. You have an incredible opportunity to pass on good things to your kids. An incredibly good opportunity to pass on good things to the next generation. I get in my own head sometimes and I worry about all the bad things I'm passing on. You know, how much of a bad example I've been. Oh man, they're going to pick up that. They're going to pick up that. You start seeing your kids do something that you do that you're like really ashamed of. And then you see them, you know, like start to live into that. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know, I get preoccupied with those things. But what about here? This is incredibly positive. The opportunities that exist to be able to pass on hard-won wisdom to the generation that comes after us. From grandparent to child to grandchild. Biblically, wisdom's not just thinking right, though. It's doing right. I see this all the time. You know, when I studied at Bible college, you could meet some people, and even happens to yourself, where you get to know a lot about God. And your mind gets and your brain gets inflamed with all of this knowledge. But it's very possible, how many know, to know a lot of things and it doesn't change the way that you act. Right? It just sits there. That's not biblical wisdom. That's knowledge that puffs up. Right? You could study for 5 years and then do all of your extra stuff and become a doctor of medicine. And if you never practice, or if you stand on the side, how much of that knowledge is really worth? How much of it has been brought to bear on the situation that's in front of you? If knowledge is not enacted or embodied, it's not wisdom. But it's very positive here as we read through this passage. Hold fast to my words, keep my commandments, get wisdom, get insight. There's not a lot of don'ts here, but there's a lot of do's. I find it really helpful that this is so positive. The seeking after wisdom is not necessarily about unlearning all the wrong things you've done, but picking up a whole bunch of right things. And so what if today you were to think to yourself for the next month as we go through this series on wisdom and we think about some of these big topics, relationships, health, we think about the way that the purpose that we have in God. If we were to think about those things and think, oh, I'm not going to have to unlearn a whole lot that I've been doing wrong, but really I want to pick up and gain and pursue after, chase after wisdom. So you might be saying to yourself, well, that's good. The Old Testament doesn't really help me a lot, though. It's for different people in a different time. Is there anything from the New Testament on wisdom? Well, the brother of Jesus, to be exact. That might be a little bit closer to home for us. Let's read from the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. So the question is, where do you go for wisdom? If you've pursued it and you're saying, yes, I'm going to make it a pursuit of mine to chase after wisdom, not just right thinking, but right living, right actions, right behavior, it's embodied. I'm going to chase after that. Where do you go for it? Because there is no shortage in our world of people or things who want to tell you what to do. Right? So loud, so noisy is our world. beaming things to you. This is what you should do. And most of it comes back to, it's not going to sound too cynical, that you need to go buy something, right? So there is a great big deal, a big sense of you going and doing something. You're being forced into action. But James comes to us in James chapter 1. Funnily enough, he structures his first chapter of his letter here in the same way that the Old Testament Proverbs is structured. So he's doing something without doing something. But he says, you know what? There's myths, there's secrets in the time of the Bible when the book of James is written. There was the secret to life, the secret of knowledge. Gnosticism was huge. People were talking about there's a secret wisdom, there's a secret knowledge you can know, but only the special people know it. And James goes, forget about that. Just go to God. Go to God for your wisdom. It's not that complicated. You can go to Him. We can ask Him for it. It doesn't need a secret. You don't need a myth. You don't need some special password or code. You can go to God and pursue wisdom in Him. That's good news. It's good news because you're sitting in a church. You're online and you're watching a service. And we're gathering together. There's been a part of you, at least a very small part. Now I get Father's Day. You've been dragged by your family. That's cool. Good job. You did it. You're here, right? It's your Father's Day gift to them. That's totally fine. And you're here where we're centered this gathering around the worship of the person of Jesus Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And so we're positioning ourselves to pursue wisdom. And you're doing this. You're doing this very text, even if you didn't know you were. You can ask God for wisdom. And what I love about this is we can ask Him because He's generous. Did you pick that up? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. Now that gives us something to think about when we think about God, doesn't it? A generous God? A God who gives? A God who's gracious? A God who's kind and effervescent in His approach toward you? Overflowing in His love and His grace and His mercy? Overflowing in the way that He gives of Himself? How many of us think of God that way? Or is the first picture that you have grumpy face, long white beard, clouds? Gives generously. There is a trick to this wisdom piece, though. And it's the part that we don't want to hear, which is the bit at the beginning, because what frames this entire text? Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. Who wants a trial? Man, I don't want trials. I want easy street. Give me the straight path, no hills, no valleys. I want straight. I want it to be clear. Want it to be easy. And James says, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? Because you're going to have steadfastness, and then you're going to be perfectly complete, lacking in nothing. And if you do lack wisdom, guess what? You can go to God for it. So the context of asking for wisdom is in the context of suffering. Now, some of you go to the gym. I can see you. Nice arms, right? But suffering is like resistance training for the spirit. Because when you meet a trial or you come against some suffering, it creates a load, a spiritual load, a heaviness. But those of you who go to the gym know that when you carry the load in the correct way, you grow stronger from it. If you carry that load in the wrong way, you break your back. So be careful. But when you carry a load in the right way, you grow stronger. It develops perseverance. It develops a bodily sense of wisdom. Your body now knows how to carry that load, and your body grows stronger. And so what we're talking about right now is how people change. Are you any different to the way you were 5 years ago? I was talking to someone and he said, I've mellowed out as I've gotten older. And I said, how come, you know, I used to be a hothead. I was aggro, angry all the time, and I've chilled out. And I said, well, how? What? Tell me the secrets. And he said, well, my wife's cancer battle. We went through that hell for 4 years, and I came out the other side of it, and I was a different person. I told me what I needed to worry about and what I didn't. There was a resistance training, and something that sometimes we go through it personally, like, you know, you might go to the gym on purpose, like you drive yourself there, right? You submit yourself to that discipline. But other discipline comes upon you. It gets forced upon you. And you don't get to choose whether you carry it or not. You get two choices. You get to carry it the right way or the wrong way. And if you carry that load the right way, guess what is the result? Wisdom. Wisdom's the result. The thing that the Bible says, chase after, go after it. So if we carry the load of trials and suffering in the right way, it develops wisdom in us, which is the exact thing that Proverbs says, go after it. So what Proverbs is saying is, learn to carry the hard stuff the right way. Learn some strategies to be able to carry the load of life, and you will grow in wisdom. It's not going to just magically get dumped on you, which is what I, when I was, you know, maybe a young Christian, I thought, God, just give me wisdom, please. Just a blueprint from heaven, like the exact words, the answer to the test, everything, you know, like just give that, just download it, boom, to me. That's what wisdom is. That's cheating, my friends. That's spiritual cheating. Yeah. And God sometimes might, you know, like kind of throw you a bone, but not often. Most of the time, it's about strengthening your inner person, the inner being of your life being strengthened by the Holy Spirit to allow you to stand up under the suffering, under the trials that you're facing, the challenges that you and I all have, and that makes us stronger on the inside, and we can carry heavier loads without breaking. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And it's incremental. We go from small to a bit more, to a bit more, to a bit more, to a bit more, to a bit more. So in a very strange way, hardship is a gift. In a strange way. Because it brings us right back to the start. It's when we work through life's challenges, and dads, mums, you all know this. When you work through those challenges with a spirit that wants to carry the load the right way, the result is wisdom, which is what we're chasing after, which is our pursuit. So, my friends, draw near to God. James says it later on in his book. He says, draw near to God and God's going to draw near to you. If you incline your ear to him and you incline your heart to him, you draw near to him, say, God, I want wisdom. I need your wisdom. I'm going to pursue you for it. He'll give us strategies, ways, and most of them come from Scripture to work through those challenges that we have in order to grow in wisdom. Let's stand together. Come on, team. Come on up. When it comes to growing in wisdom, it is truly not what you know, but who. It really is. It's not what you know, but who. Because how many know you can know a whole lot and be rendered ineffective in the real world practice of being alive? Being a human being that lives a generative, creative, generous, loving, effective life for God. And yet the invitation for us, those joining us here, if you're on the podcast or you're joining us online, the invitation is to come to the source of all wisdom. Who, by the way, knew that the path to the greatest reward also involved suffering and trial and sacrifice. Remember when Hebrews says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross? He walked through suffering and trial and sacrifice in order to gain wisdom from God, which is you and I. That's the greatest gift. His greatest pursuit was chasing after you and would go through anything, a cruel Roman cross, to get to you and I. Jesus' greatest pursuit was you and I, and so our greatest pursuit can be him. Father, we thank you. I pray for my friends today who are in need of wisdom. God, may you give it to us, but not in the form of answers to the test, but would you give it to us by shaping us, changing us, strengthening us, growing us, that we would grow in wisdom, to know how to meet the demands of the day, of the week, that we would know the way to go, that we would lean not on our own understanding, but trust in you. And that trusting in you, there is a right way to live. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we worship you today. We give you praise and honor for you, that you're a generous Father. We bring you praise. We honor you. We worship you. Let's sing, church.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.